Are you looking for a new basketball shoe? If so, this is Gary Parrish here to tell you that the New Balance 2-Way V4 features the groundbreaking use of fuel cell technology with fresh foam, creating the ultimate combination of rebound and cushioning. Every step feels explosive and dynamic, and the upper construction features a lightweight textile that's supportive and breathable. So whether you're hitting the clutch shot or locking down the opposition, the 2-Way V4 gives you the tools to play at a high level. Learn more and purchase the 2-Way at newbalance.com.
The all-new Hyundai 2024 Santa Fe is equipped with everything you need to break free from the dull work week and embark on an adventurous weekend with your family. The Hyundai Santa Fe's features like available H-Track all-wheel drive, standard third row seating, available dual wireless charging pads. You've got the H-Track all-wheel drive so you can take on those dirt trails and kick up some mud. Or the third row seating gets your whole family in to experience the thrill together. The dual wireless charging pads make sure that no one gets stuck in the great outdoors with a dead cell phone. Think about those adventurous activities you can do, like me, taking a ski trip up with the family, maybe going on a camping expedition, anything and everything. Learn more about the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe at HyundaiUSA.com. Call 562-314-4603 for complete details.
It's Gary Parrish. Welcome back to the CBS Sports Eye on College Basketball podcast, where we sometimes discuss camel fighting dodo birds and leaky black. Eye on College Basketball podcast is brought to you by Jersey Mike's. Jersey Mike's, a sub above. Matt Norlander is here with me. If you're watching on YouTube, smash the like button like you're Brandon Davies. You have consent. And don't forget, while you're here, to also subscribe to the CBS Sports College Basketball YouTube channel. Let's get into it. You know where we're starting. Final score, Oakland 80, Kentucky 76. Wildcats closed as 13.5-point favorites in a 3-14 game in the Midwest region. And then they got Jagielka. The 6'3" senior came off the bench, took 20 threes, made 10 of them, finished with 32 points. Just an all-time great, memorable NCAA tournament performance on this big stage that college basketball provides, in a game with Rob Dillingham, Reed Shepard, other future NBA players. Jagielka was the star. Deadleg, as you know, the tournament always delivers. These stories can and do come from anywhere. At what point tonight did you know we'd be leading this podcast with the GOAT, Jagielka?
I think after the 7 3-pointer. just unbelievable. This is going to be quite a podcast here. GP's got to be back on set for Sports Network in less than 30 minutes. We're going to get into Kentucky, Calipari, Oakland, and all that and start there. Wherever we finish, we finish. But let's just dive right in here. Do you want to start on Oakland winning or Kentucky losing in the Cal fallout? You let me know. How do you want to go here?
I feel like we should celebrate the winner first and yes, start with Oakland. It really is an incredible story. You and I both had fun sort of experiencing the Oakland automatic bid to the NCAA tournament. I got to tell a Greg Campy story. You got to tell a Greg Campy story. But I think we'd both be lying if we thought we'd be talking about Greg Campy and his program again tonight.
I agree. This was just, as someone who just loves the tournament and I embrace chaos, I don't care if my bracket picks are right. Don't give a damn. If they are, cool. But if not, I want to have the most interesting stuff to talk about that enhances the experience of living in this tournament. And Oakland stunning Kentucky is that. I love how every year, and I said this on HQ, but I'm going to repeat myself here on the pod and to everyone joining. Hello, we are cruising right now. We appreciate all of you doing this as these games wind down here on Thursday night. We have this kind of upset almost every single year. And by that, I mean, Parrish, did you see really anyone of note giving any true chance of Oakland to win the game outright? Did you see that anywhere? Because this one, like the Morehead State Illinois one, which went Illinois' way, I saw none of it. I saw no like, ooh, better watch out for Oakland. They're a good team, but no one had this on the board. Would you agree?
I would agree that nobody had this on the board. I will say, like we did a show earlier tonight, just before Kentucky and Oakland was about to start, and when I was asked for, and GP, your thoughts on this game? I said, listen. Kentucky at its best is as good, perhaps better than anybody else. They at least can compete with anybody else in the country. But the problem for Kentucky is that they're not always at their best. They're wildly inconsistent. And that inconsistency is what gives you, if you're Greg Campy, hope that maybe you could pull off something special. Paraphrasing myself, but I at least left open the possibility that Oakland could make this interesting, because there's a reason why Kentucky was a 9-loss team and is now a 10-loss team. And it's not because when they're at their best, they're still not good enough. When they're at their best, they're unbelievable. They're just not at their best very often.
The defense let them down tonight. It wasn't all that. A lot of this was obviously Oakland shot making. And the fact that, that we got a 24-year-old white dude named Golkey, who has the game of his life. Nada, get that quick clip audio ready, because I'm going to queue up in about 20 seconds here. No one knew who this guy was. I didn't know who this guy was, and I just wrote a feature on Campy a week ago. He comes off the bench, and he specializes in three-point shots. He goes for 32 points and etches his name into the legacy and immortality of this great event. Afterward, he got asked about the win and being an underdog, and here is what he told reporters.
Yeah, I've always had an interesting mindset about that. I obviously, we come in, we're the underdog by all measures, but you just gotta, as a player, you can't think that way. You gotta go out there and you gotta think that you have the same talent level as them. I know they have draft picks, and I know I'm not going to the NBA, but I know on any given night I can compete with those type of guys, and our team can compete with those type of guys. And that's why I was so confident going into it, and that's why I say we're not a Cinderella, because when we play our A game, we can be the best team on the floor.
Jack Golkey, this is your life. And all day long, I've been texting with my brothers about the tournament. We do this every year. It enhances the experience for me. Shouts to all of them. And one of my brothers, he kind of said it plainly, but it kind of hits it on the point with why this is so good. He said, college basketball is amazing because Kentucky has pros and they can't just say, F this, I'm taking over, or even stop a 3-point shooter. Kind of what Golkey was saying there. And Jay Wright had something about this as well in the postgame analysis, where this tournament, you get yourself caught in a game like this, it just does not matter if you've got five future NBA players on the floor. Sometimes you are going to get beat. And some of that is on Calipari. We will get to that. I am here, and I'm so happy that you opted to want to start on Oakland and Greg Campy, because this is Cinderella at its best. I wrote a column on Calipari that just posted right before we went up. We'll try and put that in the episode description, anyone listening here on Friday morning. But this is my lead exactly. Before I got to Cal, I had to start it like this. 14th seeded Oakland pulling up to Pittsburgh to punk blue-blooded third seed of Kentucky and walking out with an all-time 80-76 upset behind 32 points on 10 three-pointers from a 24-year-old bench player named Golkey, who began his career at Division II Hill State College, is why the NCAA tournament is the greatest sporting event in American history. You can't get this anywhere else, man. We were all shocked by this. The scene was great. The arena was on fire. Kentucky, yeah, it had a weak defense, but you thought they would have enough offensive firepower, and Golkey, time and time and time again, just out of nowhere, becoming an overnight sensation. And who knows what Friday is going to bring, but I do know this: for the next 48 hours, Greg Campy, Jack Golkey, and that program are going to be at the forefront of the American sports discussion, as they should be, because that's what this tournament can provide. And I loved everything about what I saw in that game tonight, because it wasn't just that they won. It was a competitive game. It was a watchable game. Kentucky was out of sorts a little bit, but it was close. And Oakland straight up won. They outplayed them for 40 minutes. They had all the big shots. Kentucky was weirdly out of sync a lot. If not for Antonio Reeves, this would have been a 12-point Kentucky win. Great, great stuff. A great, great story. And Greg Campy, you do deserve this. You deserve this. 40 years, one school, one man, from Division I to Division II. You get your flowers here. Incredible stuff, man. Just if you tell me we get a better story by the end of Sunday night than this, then I'm going to tell you it is going to be beyond imagination, because this right here, 14-3 like this, is really, really cool stuff. We will remember this game. I don't care what happens, Parrish. I don't care what happens tomorrow or 2 days from now in Oakland. They could win again, or they could lose by 40. We will remember Jack Golkey in Oakland doing this to Kentucky, maybe because of how it may affect Calipari's career. We'll remember 20 years from now. This goes into the all-time March Madness sizzle reel for what we saw in Pittsburgh Thursday night.
No, it's wild. 6 hours ago, most people, I won't even say most college basketball fans, because that's obviously true. You ready for this? 6 hours ago, most people who work in college basketball didn't know who Jack Golkey was. That's like, right. I could walk down to the bullpen right now, and it is filled with people who talk on television about college basketball. And if I would have walked in today at 4 o'clock and been like, Trivia time. Jack Golke. Nobody knows. Literally nobody.
No.
Nobody. And now you'll never forget him. And that is something that I don't know if you can only get it in college basketball, but buddy, this is the best place to get stuff like this. And Jack Golke's press conference, that clip you played, it summarizes what makes this special. The lead to your column does the same thing. I love the self-awareness. Like, you know, sometimes you'll see guys on mid-major teams or low-major teams, and they'll win on this big stage, and they'll be like, nobody believed in us and all that nonsense. And the reason nobody believed in you because you weren't supposed to win the game. Like, here's Jack Golke saying, listen, I know I'm not going to the NBA, and I know they are, but, like, that didn't matter in this setting. And so often in that setting, the NCAA tournament, that kind of stuff doesn't matter. And, of course, the problem for Kentucky is it doesn't matter often. And Kentucky's been on the wrong side of that too often. And I suppose that's a good place to transition to the other side of this thing, which is what's next for John Calipari and Kentucky. That's the big question everybody's asking tonight. I'll ask you. He is owed, just so we can get this out of the way, if they wanted to fire him, it's $33 million. That's what he's contractually obligated to get, is $33 million. You know, we've seen football programs pay bigger buyouts than this. Let's open into question. I think you tweeted it's not crazy or something along these lines.
There's a very real chance this is the last game John Calipari coaches at Kentucky.
Do you believe that?
I do. I wouldn't have said it. I wouldn't have tweeted it if I didn't believe it. And the reasons for that are a couple. I do have a column up right now that basically lays out a lot of what has happened here. I'm not going to recite the column. We're on a time crunch. Please go read it. But there's a lot of data in there to show just how this has been going for 4 years now. And this isn't just an instant reaction to one loss. It's the worst loss of the bunch, but there's a lot here. A little more context behind this. You know, there is a fracture with John Calipari and his athletic director. That's not a private thing. That's been known there, particularly in that state and in that city, for a while. And I don't think that's ever getting repaired between John Calipari and Mitch Barnhart. And when you have this and you have a fan base that I wrote in the call is now done, they're out. Some of them have been out since St. Peter's 2 years ago. The rest of them are done. You are not getting these people back. So yes, it is extremely expensive for John Calipari to be fired right now. And maybe he will have a point, or it already is at a point where he will not negotiate one penny less than what he's owed. That's fine. But this doesn't seem like it will get better. Okay. And there's a lot of reasons for it. And again, if we had 90 minutes to go into it, I would, but Jay Wright was tremendous and basically laying out why Calipari's way of doing this right now, even though we're going to lose the COVID year, can't do it, man. You can't have all these freshmen. And then an Oakland team, that's a good Horizon League team. They outclass you in a game like this. The Kentucky's younger players, they shrunk the way that Purdue did a year ago against 16 seeded FDU. So I think the conversation will be had. And I think it has hit a crossroads. I think there is a chance that John Calipari has coached his last game. If he has not, and I said it on HQ and I'll say it here, there is a chance that he has not coached his last game and he will still be there. And if he is, I will tell you the only reason why, the only reason will be because of the $33 million buyout that will be owed to him if they fire him. If he's still there, what is changing? How is this getting fixed? It's not like, oh, it's one bad season. No, man, they haven't gone to the Final Four. It will be at least 10 years, the second longest drought in the history of that program, dating back to the invention of the Final Four. And now it has been NIT, terrible year coming off the COVID year, out to St. Peter's 15 seed 2 years ago, a 12 loss season of last season and getting booted before the first weekend. And now you get done in by Oakland. I just don't see this. Once was a man who was the savior. He was the right guy at the right time for a decade for this program. But now the program might need someone new. And who that is another huge task ahead. If it is going to be someone else, well, there's not a lot of people that can step into the University of Kentucky in 2024 in this era of college athletics and actually make it a superior program to what Calipari has had. But I am at a point now where I cannot envision better days ahead for Kentucky under John Calipari. And I think the biggest reason why is it is straight up toxic now with that fan base and that coach. It is college football level at its most, at its highest point, toxic. And there is, in my opinion, there is no coming back from this. He's the smoothest talker on the mic. He has been able to handle that hot box forever, but this feels bigger. It feels different. And if they move forward, it will be under circumstances in which I believe that nobody there would really be happy with. And the only reason why they would is because of money.
They need a divorce. I don't know that they will, but they should. It is in both of their best interest. This can't be fun for John. And it's obviously you know, Kentucky fans have reached the tipping point. A lot of them have already been there, like you pointed out. The problem for John now is that he can't fix any of this with a recruiting class. They ain't falling for that no more, right? He can't fix any of this with a preseason ranking because they ain't falling for that no more. They like used to, he could fix it with, hey, look what I got coming. And people be like, all right, look what he's got coming. Now nobody cares what you have coming. You know what you got coming? It ain't as good as Rob Dillingham and Reed Shepherd and DJ Wagner and Aaron Bradshaw. You ain't gonna have Antonio Reeves. So they need to divorce. I don't know that they will. I don't want to speak for John, but he has never struck me as the type that would give money back, right? So if you owe him $33 million, he's probably going to make you pay him $33 million. But if you're Kentucky, I do think you have to consider it. This is one of, if not the biggest brands in the sport, and it is incredibly damaged right now. Hadn't been to a Sweet 16 since 2019. Hadn't been to a Final Four since 2015. John's now 1-4 in his past five NCAA tournament games, with losses to St. Peter's and Oakland in that stretch. It's now been 15 years at Kentucky, a bazillion dollars in NBA contracts, loads of great players, only one national championship, zero Final Fours in the past nine seasons. This is the longest John's ever coached in college without making a Final Four. He was in the Final Four in year eight at UMass and then left. In the Final Four in year eight at Memphis, left after year nine. He's now gone 9 years without a Final Four at Kentucky. And Dan Wolkin at USA Today wrote a column about this tonight as well. And one of the points he made is that, not literally, but his point was you should lock yourself in a room with Mitch Barnhart and whoever else needs to be in the room and figure out a way to move on. If you're John Calipari, because I saw this tonight, try to get Michigan. Would you try to get Michigan or do you make Kentucky make the decision on you?
Yes, I think that's part of it. Now you have to be wanted by Michigan. And I think a key context with that is that, and this I just have learned in, over the past few weeks with this Michigan stuff, or not even the few weeks, I guess a week and a half, is big thing with Michigan is that football is king there. And this is what was told me by two different people. And it wasn't in reference to Cal specifically. It was like, who's going to be the guy? Well, the thing is, when you go to Michigan, if you get the Michigan job, the reason why Dusty May might be a good guy for that job is he does not have a huge ego. He does not have a huge presence. And John Calipari comes with a lot. I wonder if he would actually be desired by Michigan because of who he is and his potential. You can't, basically, what was said to me, and I'm paraphrasing here, is you can go to Michigan. They want you to be really good at Michigan. You cannot get in the way of football being really good at Michigan. And so I almost wonder if that is a disqualifying situation for Cal. Cal could very well be the best person for Michigan. I just wonder if the fit's there. That's all.
Yeah. I'm not sure. Like at this point, I think if you're anybody, you have to have second thought, not anybody, like if SMU, like if you can get John Calipari in your SMU, I guess you do that. But the Michigans and the big jobs, I think you have to have second thoughts about it. Cause it's like, all right, what can we give this guy that they can't give him? What could we possibly give him that they can't give him? And he ain't winning with what they're giving him. So what are we doing? I think that's a real question. So it's been touch and go for a minute with John and those fans. And they had enough good moments this season where it was like, well, if we ever do that a lot, then, we could get where we're trying to get to. Yeah. But when this happens again, so soon after St. Peter's, it's just, he can't undo some of this stuff until like next March at the earliest. And that's a real problem. So we'll see where it goes from here, but I'm with you. It's not that I can't imagine better days for John Calipari and Kentucky together. It's just that, man, it's going to be hard to get there. And even when you get there, every time something bad happens now, it's just an eruption. And that becomes very difficult to try to, it's just a hard way to live. A hard way to live. So
yeah, we got to transfer. I can't imagine he wants to live like this either. That's all. That's also part of it. You cannot tell me that he is enjoying his life right now, living like this.
I had a buddy of mine text me and he said, can't you just negotiate? Say, hey, John, for $25 million, for $22 million, can we just do a nice, put our arms around each other and say it's been a, almost like Robert Kraft, Bill Belichick thing, and say, hey, we've had a good run, but it's time. These are all conversations that need to happen. I'm confident they'll be happening on some level in the coming hours and days, and we'll see where it goes. Let's let's move on. Let's discuss other Kentucky Oakland ain't the only thing that happened on Thursday. We'll get to the just give me a word from our partners. We'll talk some more.
Imagine sleeping in the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's iconic sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. So start getting your best night's sleep in sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. And you can try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee plus 15% off your first order with code Odyssey. So head to B-O-L-L and branch.com today. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Did you know that while over 60% of Americans dream of starting their own business, less than 20% of them take the first step? The reason? Building a business is tough. Tailored Brands is simplifying the business journey. From launching and managing to growing your business, Tailored Brands isn't just another tool. It's your online business partner from launch to success. With Tailored Brands, building your dream business becomes an effortless experience. Their comprehensive platform guides you through every step, ensuring you have everything you need in one place. From LLC formation to bookkeeping, invoicing to acquiring licenses and permits, and even setting up your bank account, Tailored Brands handles it all seamlessly. And our listeners will receive 35% off Tailored Brands LLC formation plans using our link, taylorbrands.com/CBS Sports. That's TAILORBRANDS.com/CBS Sports. So start your business journey today with Tailored Brands.
Okay, Deadlay, let's pop through this stuff. And I've got it broken down sort of region by region. And just, again, for in the spirit of transparency, I got to leave here in about 10 minutes because I've got to be on TV at 1 a.m.
Eastern. In 10 minutes. I'm gonna land this plane. Yeah,
yeah. And then, honestly, tomorrow night, we're going to have to figure out something different.
Yeah.
This was a questionable plan to begin with, and now here we are. The day got started with Michigan State, Mississippi State in the West region. So let's start the whip around there. Final score, Spartans 69, Bulldogs 51. Tom Izzo lives up to his reputation, wins for the 17th time in the NCAA tournament as a worst-seeded team. Mm-hmm. Nobody's done that as often as him. Michigan State, 50% from the field against the Mississippi State team that had a top 20 defense. Tyson Walker got 19 points. So it's going to be North Carolina, Michigan State on Saturday because UNC beat Wagner 90-62 in Thursday's first round. Instead of looking backwards, let's look ahead. That's a juicy 1-9 matchup, isn't it? North Carolina, Michigan State is going to go from a team that people said, I can't believe they got a 9 seed, to a team where people say, ooh, you better watch out, North Carolina.
I think I'm there. Yeah, I think it's me.
Yes.
I think that's exactly me. It might be you too, actually. Are you with me?
No, it's me too. It's me too.
No, absolutely. I will note that what I did not realize going in was that Tom Izzo won 9 straight games against SEC teams, and now it's 10 in a row. Had I realized that, I might have, picked differently. Oh, by the way, the SEC 1-3 on Thursday. Tennessee was the only team that wound up winning and took care of the Peacocks there. It's a really good game. UNC is 5-0 all time in the tournament against Michigan State. Izzo has a losing record against North Carolina all time. Izzo is 0-2 in second round games against one seeds, which would make sense. He doesn't have a better team if he's playing a one seed in the second round there. But everything does favor UNC in terms of seeding, matchups, efficiency rankings. UNC has won 22 of its last 23 games against teams seeded 9th or worse. By the way, the only loss was to Wisconsin in the first round back in the COVID bubble. Roy Williams, his last game, in fact. But no, this is a really, really good game. And if Michigan State does play on Saturday the way that it played against Mississippi State, it's not as good as Carolina, I understand that, then we're going to have a game. If that team shows up on Saturday, it is going to be a game that Michigan State can win and certainly keep it close. And it will be a game that is decided by single digits. If Michigan State plays the same way they did against Mississippi State, I'm looking forward to it. And MSU made no bones about it. Never lost. Never trailed against Mississippi State on Thursday.
How often do you see this? It's a 1 seed against a 9 seed in the round of 32. What do you think the point spread is?
Good question. I thought you were going to ask how often you see a 1 seed versus a 9 seed. And basically it's two schools that are like top 10 all time in the sport. I will say, so you know the point spread right now?
Yes.
I don't. I'm purely guessing. I will say it is Carolina -3.
3.5. I mean, that's got to be low for a 1-9 game.
Yeah, it is. It definitely is.
Yeah. So Carolina, Michigan State. Keep in mind, Michigan State's not your traditional 9 seed in any. This is a preseason number 4 team. coached by arguably the greatest March coach in history. So if you're Hubert Davis, you got to be like,
I know.
Why did you guys care so much about Iowa State's non-league strength of schedule? Why wouldn't you just let them have this? This could be Iowa State. Yeah. This could be Iowa State having to deal with Izzo in the round of 32, but it'll be North Carolina. Let's stay in the West region. Two more games there. Final score, Dayton 63, Nevada 60. Boy, if you turn that one off early, you're going to be shocked to hear it is. Nevada was up 17 points with 7:15 left. Lost the game. Dayton closed on a 24-4 run. Final score elsewhere in the West, Arizona 85, Long Beach State 65. Dan Munson done it, Long Beach State, now. So it'll be number 2 seed Arizona against number 7 seed Dayton on Saturday. How crazy was that Nevada-Dayton ending?
Dude, the last time a team came from 17 or more down in the tournament to win a game was actually Nevada doing it against Cincinnati in 2018. I remember that game. Muss went, he went shirtless in the locker room after. I also remember that celebration there. That is tough in what has also been a tough day for the Mountain West, because we have other results to get to, but the Mountain West is 1-3, and Nevada should have had this game. The team, I kept it on. I mean, I'm not turning off a tournament game. We only get so many of these things, and even if they're blowouts, I got the quad box, or I got multi-screen going at all points. By the way, Washington State just beat Drake. We'll get to that later in the show. Hey, at least I got one toss-up game right. It's not going so well for your guy over here, by the way. Nevada melted against Dayton's pressure. It was, I don't know what to say. Like, it was, Dayton did push back and score. It hit some big threes, but pretty close to a choke, GP. I mean, it was a hurry.
That's a choke. You're up 17 with 7:15 to go. I don't care if you're Wagner in North Carolina. If you're Wagner and you're up 17 on North Carolina, you should win that game. To be up 17 with 7:15 left and lose is crazy.
I agree. Good on Dayton. Good on the A-10. We'll get to that again in just a second here. But that was a really impressive comeback for the Flyers. De'Ron Holmes had a wonderful on-court interview right after when the game ended there. And he's got just a wonderful disposition about himself. And they really did believe, man. I know that it is a bit of a cliche, but when I was watching Dayton pull this off, and I didn't know if it was going to win in real time, but I saw them get back into the game. I was like, these dudes absolutely believe that they're going to win this game right now. And the fact that, here's where it really helps you. It didn't help Kentucky on Thursday, but it helped Dayton, because Kentucky is the best 3-point shooting team in the country. Dayton number 3. Dayton hit big three after big three after big three. And what you wound up seeing was Kobe Brea, De'Ron Holmes really commanding the ball and making it happen and winning a low scoring game. I guess 63-60, like not a ton of points. Both teams, well, I thought both teams were under 1 point per session. I guess Dayton on his final two possessions got to exactly 1 point per possession there. And Nevada, that's a stinger, man. That's you had the game. Like it was a choke, but good on Dayton. It will now face Arizona, which dispatched Long Beach State after some initial intrigue. Not much in the second half whatsoever. Good on Tommy Lloyd to avoid, obviously, a 15-2 years in a row.
Let's skip over to the East region. Final score, Duquesne 71, BYU 67. For a minute, I thought that's where we're going to start. Final score, yeah. Illinois 85, Morehead State 69. So it's going to be a 3-seed Illinois against an 11-seed Duquesne on Saturday. We'll come back to that. Final score, Iowa State 82, South Dakota State 65. Easy win for Iowa State. Washington State has defeated Drake. Drake out of the tournament. Washington State advances. So on Saturday, we'll get Illinois Duquesne in the East region. We'll get Iowa State, Washington State in the East region. And how about the Atlantic 10 with two schools in the round of 32?
Hey, listen, you're the one that's up against it. I'm tossing it right back to you. Give me any other thoughts that you have on Keith Dambrot, the A-10, because you got to bounce here in a second. So I'm throwing it right back to you over the net.
Well, I'm happy for Keith, obviously. Like for a league like the A-10, just remind me, just so we make sure we have the numbers right. Do you know how much an NCAA tournament win is?
A unit is just shy. It changes yearly.
It's like around 2, Bill, right?
What's up?
I thought it was around 2.
It's just, I think it's like 1,900,000 and change right now. Yes. And so that's paid out over like 6 years. So
I know, but like the A-10 just made $4 million today, basically.
Yes, it did. Yes.
That matters to them.
It does. Yes.
Yes. So happy for Keith, happy for the league. And then Iowa State, I mean, they just keep beating the hell out of everybody, you know?
I know.
They just keep beating everybody's brains in.
There was a wink where South Dakota State thought maybe it had a chance. Maybe for like literally 5 minutes. And then Iowa State said, nope. We're done with you. We're not doing this. So no, it was impressive. And they continue their role in their stroll. Duquesne BYU Duquesne's now won 9 in a row, 11 of his past 12. First tournament win for Duquesne since GP. Do you know it?
It's on 1969, I think.
That is correct. Where is that? It's in my file somewhere. Whatever. I won't deal with it. Oh, wait, there it is. There we go. 1969. BYU just going cold and, oh, man, brutal. Duquesne winning, by the way, the third longest span between NCAA tournament wins in history. Holy Cross holds the longest with 63 years. Baylor, 59 years. Duquesne, 55. Stanford has 53 years. So, Good on Keith Dambrot for postponing the retirement. BYU has lost 5 consecutive NCAA tournament games in a row. If we look ahead to both Duquesne and Dayton, the Atlantic 10 has not reached the Sweet 16 since 2014 when Dayton actually made the Elite Eight under Archie Miller. So we'll see if they can get that done. Are you up against it, GP?
I am. So we still got the Midwest region to get to. Dead leg, if you don't mind.
I'm going to take it.
I'm going to let you handle that from here. I'm going to walk downstairs one floor into Studio 44. And we've got March Madness 360 is the name of the show. Here starting at 1 a.m. Eastern. It'll be me, Brent Stover, Wally Zerbiak, and Chris Walker with a full hour recap. So, hey, we tried. We tried to start at midnight. We gave it our best shot, didn't we?
Not only did we give it our best shot, you might not be aware of this. It is a 3-point game between Kansas and Samford right now with 4 and change to go. Yeah.
See if you can find an email where I laid this out. Exactly.
I am going to ride this out till this game ends because it would be so ridiculous for me to stop talking before this game is over. Go do your show. Everyone realizes, hey, our listeners understand. Go do your TV stuff, and they will hear from you again at some point late Friday/early Saturday, GP.
Okay? I do have a grizzly bear impression that I worked on tonight. Perhaps I'll bring it back another time.
You should bring it back tomorrow.
I might. It's a breathy roar. I didn't realize a grizzly bear is such a breathy roar. It's a breathy roar. It's a breathy roar. I got to go downstairs before I get fired.
Go.
Bye.
Go. Bye-bye. Bye-bye. All right. It's just me. Kyle Boone, you're in the chat. I'm texting you right now. I'm literally inviting Kyle Boone into this podcast right now if he does not have to write. All right. So here's the deal, people. I am going to... I'm glad we did it the way we did it because I wanted me and GP to talk about Oakland and Kentucky and Calipari. And because he is doing these late shifts every single night, he has a late shift because John Rothstein is on the road. He's doing sideline reporting for the tournament. We didn't want to make you wait too long. And tomorrow I'm going to be at the tournament, so I will not be on tomorrow night's podcast there. But we literally, folks, and if you're watching like Friday morning, and I get it, you're not in here in real time, but we got a decent live audience right now. We have 81-79 Kansas over Stanford. No, I'm not going to give you live commentary for the end of this game. That's just not going to happen, but I'm not going to stop recording this podcast, at least in regulation, until that game is over. Let's continue to tour around the rest of the day, and then we'll see how this game winds up ending there. Just go through what we have not hit on. You had Oregon beat South Carolina. There's not a ton to get to there other than, you know, we had 11s over sixes here. The 11s continue since 2010. They're above 500 in this tournament. Incredible run here for the 11s, and Oregon outclassed South Carolina. A quick thought on that. Oregon, great job. Jermaine Cuisenard going for 40. The best performance by a player against a former team in the history of the tournament. And one of the only players, I think actually I saw... We're getting stats and nuggets constantly from our CBS research team. I think he has scored the most points for a double-digit seed in the history of the tournament, breaking the record that was held by Stephen Curry back in 08 for Davidson. Big ups for Jermaine Cuisenard and Oregon to continue being hot. In fact, Oregon has been hot, continued its streak here on Thursday. I'll get to it in a second, but NC State's been hot. It beat Texas Tech. With South Carolina, just a wondering thought, Lamont Paris was a viable candidate for Ohio State. They went with Jake Diebler. Lamont Paris might have said, thanks, but no thanks. I'm going to just sign this extension here. He certainly removed his name from consideration of that job, and it might well work out for him. But South Carolina is traditionally not that relevant of a program. His first year, Paris's, didn't go well. This year was really, really good. I hope he can keep it going. But I almost wonder if we look up 3-4 years from now, what will you know, will Deeper be at Ohio State? He's unproven. I don't know. There's a lot there. I couldn't help but notice overall. Where else should we pivot to here? Nada, give me 1 second, because Parrish had the bracket up, and I want to bring up the bracket here so I can stay in the same region. So I'll stay in the Midwest. Creighton beat Akron. Not a ton to talk about. Good job out of Creighton. They win easily. It was a 14-3 game or 3-14 game that didn't really have any drama. So what do you want from me? Down below, Tennessee did beat St. Peter's. A little bit of a bitter irony that on the night where Kentucky got dropped, the only SEC team to win was the one that beat the team that beat Kentucky 2 years ago, and Tennessee avoids embarrassment. The other game was Texas, in that part of the bracket was Texas against Colorado State. The Rams had themselves, well, just an absolutely atrocious first half, 11 points. And it is unfortunate. Good on Texas for getting the win, looking good. There's Kyle Boone. There we go. See, this
how we doing?
There we go. This just makes it easier. So if I got to watch Samford, Kansas for a second, I'm not talking to the mic for like 20 seconds and we can kind of ping pong off each other. There, so I like this. I like, we're kind of rotating in. Let me finish this thought here and then I'll bring you in. Texas looked impressive. Colorado State is part of a bad day for the Mountain West, because now three teams are gone. And on Friday, you will have San Diego State, you will have Utah State, and you will have New Mexico. And the league was very, very entertaining this season, but we can't get to Saturday with only like one team left. Mountain West needs at least two teams to win tomorrow to improve its reputation. Welcome in. How you doing, KP?
What a day. Happy Thursday. Happy opening day. This was a fantastic start to the day, and we're not done. Buckyball's doing some things against Kansas. We'll see if...
I know. I know.
Crazy day already.
How about that? Setting up the Saturday matchup, by the way, Rick Barnes will coach against his former team, Tennessee versus Texas. One shade of orange versus another. That's a really, really good one. Someone is in the chat asking where Parrish is. You're late. Parrish was on the show. He is now going to be on television. And so this is what we're doing. We're making some lemonade right now because we wanted to get me and GP on the same show early to talk about the game that matters, the result that matters, all things Kentucky versus Oakland. So we do have people actually streaming in here, and we appreciate that. It's 12:30 Eastern as we're doing this. And yes, these tournament podcast recaps, they're a little bit different. Most will not be longer than the one that you're getting tonight, knock on wood. Parrish is hosting. Anything's possible. But because we had to go early, because Kansas Samford's running late, and as we talk in real time right now, Kansas is up 83-79 with 3:40 to go. We'll see if they can hold on. Obviously, no Kevin McCullough Jr. Let me continue to tour around the rest of the bracket and what we saw go down here on Thursday. So that was the Midwest. We also have Gonzaga and McNeese. I'm going to toss it right to you, KP. How about Gonzaga quickly putting an end to the McNeese hype train? And I mean quickly. You knew the game was done with about 8 minutes to go in the first half.
Robert Half research indicates 9 out of 10 hiring managers are having difficulty hiring. If you have open roles, chances are you're feeling this too. That's why you need Robert Half. Our specialized recruiting professionals engage with our proprietary AI to connect businesses of all sizes with highly skilled talent in finance and accounting, technology, marketing and creative, legal, and administrative and customer support. At Robert Half, we know talent. Visit roberthalf.com today. This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Yeah, that was a shocker to me. I think McNeese was probably like the most trendy 12-5 pick. Probably not even close. And I think probably with good reason, right? Because Gonzaga this season we thought was pretty good, but maybe not the same type of Gonzaga that we've seen under Mark Few the last few years. Turns out that was wrong. They've played at a really high level really over the last month and change. and they just completely dominated in this game. It wasn't even close. And McNeese is a really good team, and they just boat raced them. 86-65. Fantastic showing from Gonzaga. I mean, Nolan Hippen was good. Anton Wasson had 13 points and 9 assists. Ryan Nimhard had 9 assists. Really impressed with what I saw from Gonzaga tonight. Did that take you by surprise, Norlander?
It did. I thought we were going to get a close game. I thought it was going to be a single-digit margin for Gonzaga and a win, and it was not that, which, you know, good on Gonzaga. And because it wasn't even a true five. It was a six, but it got bumped to the five because BYU had to be on the sixth line for bracketing principles to avoid BYU having to play on a Sunday. And there you go, Bob's your uncle. But that was really, really impressive. McNeese was a good team, but you could tell midway through the first half that Gonzaga's just ability as a team, as a functioning unit, a moving organism on the floor, they were two levels above McNeese. And part of that is, one, it's evident that they just have a better roster, but two, one team showed up ready to play and had a really good scouting report. The other team was just overmatched. So there you have it. They will play the winner of Kansas Samford. Kansas is now up 7 with under 3 to go. And there's a Samford player down on the floor. We're going to see how long we can take this out here. That covers the Midwest, save for the ending of Kansas Samford. So we'll keep it moving on here. In the South, we talked Kentucky Oakland plenty, so I won't double back to that. The only other game in that region that was played today, everything else will be played on Friday, was Texas Tech versus NC State. And let me just catch up on my bracket here, bud. Yeah, I'm 0-3 in the 6-11s. How you like me now? BYU.
It's tough and day.
Let me double back to BYU real quick, and then I promise I'll get to Tech NC State. I thought BYU would win this game by 15-plus points. Yeah, I mean, sure. I did not think it would be close. Duquesne on a scorcher, and it showed, and it was so impressive. I thought Tech would win close. Nope. And there is no, we've mentioned this, I think we mentioned on one of the on the CBS Sports Network shows, but there is no correlation between how hot you are in your conference tournament and going into it and your first game in the tournament. There just isn't. Sometimes you win, sometimes you don't. There's no pattern at play there. But with NC State, man, it's got something special going on right now. I was actually writing, I had to write the Calipari column. And so I was watching the game, but I did not have the sound up, which, you know, we had to get something on Cal in his future. It's the biggest story of the night. So, but at the expense of that, I actually did not watch a lot of this game. So this is my tee up to you, KB. How much of this game did you watch and what can you tell us about it?
I watched enough. I watched it enough to know that I'm pretty excited about NC State basketball, which is, it's gotta be the first time I've ever said that in the history of my life.
Yeah.
But NC State, man, they're coming off a five game win streak in the ACC tournament. They looked really good against Texas Tech, and this is a good Texas Tech team. I watched a lot, maybe too much Texas Tech basketball this season, and NC State just kind of de-pantsed them, Norlander. Like, this was a really impressive showing. DJ Burns.
Is it pants or de-pantsed? I've always thought de-pantsed is the word, because I feel like if you're pantsing yourself, you're putting them on your body.
Yeah, it's de-pants, right? Because you're
it's got to be.
You're taking the pants off.
Yeah. Okay, there's that. And also, when you get off the plane, you deplane. So right. I figure it's de-pants. Continue.
Wait, so when you get on a plane, are you just planing?
I think you onboard.
Okay.
Or you just board.
Yeah, fair.
Yeah.
DJ Burns, fantastic. 16 points in this game. What can you say about him? I mean, he's like one of the best personalities in the NCAA tournament right now. He was electric. Completely awesome in this game. He had a left-handed hook shot down in the post against Texas Tech that, I mean, just like perfect. Exactly what you want to see. Really fun NC State team. They've been hot and made Texas Tech look like they did not deserve to be on the floor. So de-pantsing against Texas Tech. That's really impressive.
So, and the theme here, I'll tie these three results together for us here. BYU, a metrics darling. Mm-hmm. Texas Tech, not as much of a metric darling, but in the Big 12 and BYU was better than expected this season. Texas Tech was better than expected this season. South Carolina was absolutely better than expected this season. All of these teams were picked near at the bottom of their conference projections back in October. They overachieved, or if you don't want to say they overachieved, they played beyond expectations and they parlayed that into opportunities on the sixth line in the tournament. And BYU fell at the hands of Duquesne. NC State was able to take out Texas Tech. And then South Carolina could not run with Oregon. And we will see if New Mexico can complete the foursome. Of course, I have. I had 6-seed BYU winning. I had 6-seed Texas Tech winning. I had 6-seed South Carolina winning. The only 11 I had winning was New Mexico. Now what? Now let's just watch them. What goes happens out tomorrow? Like, you just know this. Did it to myself, and that's what really hurts. But congrats to NC State and shouts to Will Brinson. Shouts to the Pick Six Pod host, his NC State Wolfpack, for getting it done. Living a charm life. That's really, really cool stuff. Triangle basketball right now is alive. We'll see what Friday brings. Duke's gonna have to play, but UNC winning, NC State winning, really impressive stuff. And NC State fans, we haven't had an opportunity to talk about your team too much on this show. If you're tuning in now or listening, I just hope you're enjoying it to the fullest. Like, this is, it was house money getting to the tournament, and the fact that you won another game, just really, really, really impressive stuff all around there. That was,
by the way, Mufert in the chat, Mufert, says pantsing is the act of sneakily depantsing another. One does not pants, much less depants oneself. So some clarification there on
the there we go. We got people in the chat because I'm always the first one to reveal the tip times on social media when they come out Selection Sunday, asking where the tip times are. The tip times have not been determined yet, people. Now they should be in any minute, by the way. And they'll probably get posted to social before they hit my email box, but that is coming in the next 5 to 10 minutes overall. If you're listening in the morning or watching in the morning, you already know the tip times, but we have had a couple of people ask that. Figured I'd clue them in on that situation. So that's the South. We've covered the Midwest with the exception of this Kansas-Samford game, which is approaching final hour, but we'll see if Samford has one last rally in it. In the West, GP and I already talked about UNC beating Wagner, Michigan State, Mississippi State. You've got St. Mary's Grand Canyon tomorrow. You've got Bama Charleston tomorrow. You've got Clemson, New Mexico, Baylor Colgate tomorrow. And we got to the bottom two games there in Salt Lake City. In the East, I'll be at Brooklyn. UConn plays Stetson after FAU Northwestern gets things going in Brooklyn. I'll be on HQ in the 11 a.m. hour. If you haven't been watching HQ, please do so. We are covering, I'm telling you, CBS in general, as is always the case, but we are covering this tournament better than anyone out there, and we appreciate you guys checking in and following along with us. Only other games to kind of get to, one is not really worth talking about. Illinois, again, Illinois, kind of like Arizona, got a flirt with a double-digit seed, but it rolled. But Washington State versus Drake, which that game was happening literally as we started this podcast. Yep. And then I was writing the Cal column through some of it. I got that one right by pure luck, by the way. But I had Wazoo moving on there. Wazoo will play Iowa State. Booney, how much did you see of the Cougars and the Bulldogs and Kyle Smith's team moving on to the second round?
I saw none of this game. I'm going to be honest. I tuned in to watch you guys and just floated into space. I did watch some of the Illinois Morehead State game. Fantastic. Illinois is a delight. They absolutely love falling behind early. I don't know what their deal is, but I mean, shout out to them. The 85-69, this was a pretty dominant win, obviously coming off the run in the Big Ten tournament. So I didn't see any of the Drake. Didn't see any of the Drake.
We'll get to that in a second because I got the game box here. One quick thing on Illinois. It was a game, and then in like a 7-minute span in real time, it was not a game anymore. And Dane Danger had himself one heck of a performance. Terrence Hannah Jr. had 26 points. Marcus Damask actually had a triple-double. So he had the 10th official triple-double in the history of the official. I think there's been 18 or 19 unofficial ones that people have logged. I don't know why the NCAA just doesn't add these, but whatever. Damask had 12 points, 11 rebounds, 10 dimes. And then Dane Danger had a stretch where he was just taking over. He didn't miss a shot. He was 9-9 from the field, 21 points. If you're an Illinois fan, after getting maybe you're as satisfied as can be with the game because your team got a push, and then the response was exactly what you would want to see in that situation between Shannon Damask and Danger. Incredible, incredible stuff there. Drake goes down to Washington State. Drake had the lead late. Then Washington State took it back. I'm seeing this game had four lead changes, seven ties. Drake shot better from the field, but not by a large percentage, 42% to Washington State's 38%. And it's a bummer for the Valley in that Indiana State didn't get in. Drake gets in, gets the seed it deserved. Drake was a 10, made a good game of it. Tucker DeVries, though, only 14 points on 33% shooting. That's tough. They needed more from him than they got. But credit to Washington State in the way that it was able to scheme them up. And it's something that I just I didn't think I would be saying. Ayton Wright had a team high 20 points. Like I would have thought for sure DeVries would have been the team's high scorer. Meantime, for Washington State, you know, Kyle Smith gets this team into the second round. It wasn't just enough to get here for the first time since 2008. You get the win, and you get it in impressive fashion. Like you got a real push here, and that's really impressive. Jalen Wells, I mean, how many did Jalen Wells have here? He had 17. No, he had 17. Yeah, he did have 17 points in this one. Good on him. Isaac Jones had a team high 20. Miles Rice only had 9, and Wazoo. How about Wazoo? That's a good game, man. Washington State, Iowa State. I have it in my bracket as Washington State beating Iowa State. So with that in mind, I know GP had this on the rundown as well, as we still continue to wait for Kansas Stanford to go final. On the docket for Friday,
yep.
Bring up the schedule, KB.
I got it right here. I'm ready.
Give me the game you're most looking forward to watching and the upset you are most expecting to see. And if those are one and the same, then you have to pick a second candidate in either category.
Okay. I'm really excited to watch New Mexico versus Clemson. This is probably the most trendy 11 over 6 pick because New Mexico is quite literally the betting favorite, to win that game. They are my pick to win that game. They've played very, very well down the stretch. Obviously, ended up winning the Mountain West Conference Tournament. They draw a Clemson team that has been a little bit hit or miss. Clemson coming off a one-and-done showing in the ACC tournament where they lost by 21 points to Boston College. That's not ideal. So I'm really excited to watch that one. Curious to see how this Alabama team plays tomorrow night. Their offense has been spectacular. Their defense has not been good. And how does that description fits another team that just went out in the first round on Thursday, doesn't it? Kentucky has had an elite offense all season. Their defense has been suspect all season. That is exactly how Alabama comes into this NCAA tournament. Nate Oates in this team is very fun to watch. But this is a Charleston team that I think is going to give Alabama a nice little run here. And so, yeah, I'm excited to watch, see how the Crimson Tide fare against Charleston.
Yeah, that's actually a good call. I think that one's a tough read. I've got Bama winning.
Yeah, me too.
Keep it in mind here. I'm going to give our listeners and our viewers, if you need it real quick, I'm going to give you the entire rundown start to finish for Friday as a refresher. And if you need it here, actually, hold on, in real time here, Sanford down 4, 43 seconds to go.
Down 2.
And hold on. No, don't be ahead of me. They are down. Oh, my God, what a dunk. No spoiling. You're like 4 seconds ahead. I got the YouTube TV. No more from you, KB. Oh, my gosh, 88, 86. Here we go. And they're going to timeout. Here's your Friday schedule. I'll be there at Brooklyn. That's the first tip of the day. Northwestern versus FAU. That's your CBS tip, 12:15 Eastern. Next. And the stagger of these games is just perfect, by the way. Perfect. Mm. We had, I think, in real time on Thursday from the end. What was the game that ended in the second window? It was, I got to know. I'm going to drive myself nuts because Texas Colorado State started. It was Dayton. It was the Dayton comeback. I'm almost positive. It was Dayton's comeback win on Nevada, I think, ended. And within 90 seconds, if that, it might have been less than 60 seconds, Texas, Colorado State tipped at 6:50 Eastern. So you just had a nonstop, just that beautiful stream.
It's lovely.
Where was I? Game 2, Colgate versus Baylor. That's a true TV tip at 12:40. Oh, by the way, news. Scott Drew's not going anywhere. Jeff Goodman was the first to break it. And then Scott Drew picked up my phone call and confirmed it. And basically the reason why he is not going to entertain any job offers is there was, you know, curiosity and concern about if Baylor would be able to up its NIL situation to be competitive near the top of the Big 12. And Baylor president Linda Livingstone basically assured Drew and everyone that matters connected to the program in the previous 48 hours that will be the case. So he has been on the record. He is not going anywhere. That will likely slide Dusty May to the top of Louisville's list. Dusty May coaches first in the game at 12:15 p.m. Eastern. UAB versus San Diego State is 1:45 p.m. on TNT. That's going to take place in Spokane. And then you're going to have Western Kentucky versus Marquette at 2:15 on 2 o'clock on TBS. That is your opening window here. And the best of the bunch there is obviously FAU versus Northwestern. Really good matchup between two coaches with varying music tastes. Dusty May gave me Rod Wave. Chris Collins gave me Babyface. Both of them have been asked by the media and had to back up their picks overall there. So we haven't really talked about it much on the pod here, but I'll just say real quick before I read the rest of the schedule, the reaction has been hilarious and frankly overwhelming with how many people engaged with that story, but very, very cool. People love to have intense opinions about other people's music, whether they support it or don't. I knew that was kind of inevitable. And some of the responses have been incredible. So it's very, very worth doing. If you've not seen it yet, it's on cbsports.com or just Google my name and coach's favorite bands in the tournament, and it'll pop up there.
What was your favorite or most surprising?
Most surprising was the guy who won on Thursday. Kyle Smith picking Digital Underground was my most surprising.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes.
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
I tweeted out, I'll look it up because I tweeted out my five biggest surprises.
I mean, most predictable had to be probably Calipari and Drake, right? I think Josh.
As I said, though, Calipari was the only coach surveyed that said, I don't listen to music. And so, I knows a few Drake songs or whatever. Yeah. So I had no choice. I tried to source it with two other people, and it's like, whenever I see Cal on the phone, he's on the phone. Never listening to music. So there you have it. Five biggest surprises on that were Kyle Smith, Digital Underground. This wasn't a surprise. It was just an awesome whoa. Kenny Blakeney, Howard coach, picking the Backyard Band, which is a DC go-go group. I love, love, love that pick. Fred Hoiberg giving me Queen out of left field was great. And I said, okay, give me your favorite songs here. He texted him. He said Radio Gaga, Somebody to Love, and let me get a real quick here. This is obviously vital information here before Nebraska plays on Friday. He said Radio Gaga, Somebody to Love, and my text messages are now not loading. Whatever. Doesn't matter.
We're going to need a Samford update ASAP.
Hold on. Don't spoil it. Here we go. Kansas 90, Samford 89. Do not spoil this on me, KB. You're ahead of me. Here comes Kansas. That's Timberlake. Ooh, transition. That's a hard foul. Hard foul. I do love the idea that some people are going to listen to this knowing the result already. And it's going to drive Parrish nuts. Hopefully he never listens to this. But whatever, man. Hey, this was the deal. Normally, I think the plan is we're not doing this again. Oakland was such a big deal, and Calipari that we wanted to talk to each other on the pod because I won't be on tomorrow night's show, and then we're going to try and make Sunday and that happen, but it's going to be a little here and there. Fred Hoiberg, Todd Golden giving me Sublime, which makes sense after he says it, but I was not expecting that. And then Bucky McMillan, who is coaching right now, he's 40 years old, and he gave me Sam Cooke, which is just such a great, great, great throwback there. But there were a number of surprising ones, and it was a ton of fun to do.
Did Todd Golden give you Sublime in the Ken voice? Have you seen the Ken outtakes from Barbie?
I have not seen the Ken outtakes, but it's Matchbox 20 that gets some good run in that movie in the mainframe.
Yeah, it's excellent. He loves Sublime with Sublime. It's like the. Did you watch the Barbie movie or no?
I did. Yeah, I watched it. Yeah. Chat, by the way, is rolling right now. I can't look at the chat because I think some people in the chat are watching on cable and YouTube TV is 5 to 10 seconds behind. I will continue with the rest of the schedule for everyone that's listening to this and already knows the result of this damn game. Second window, Stetson versus UConn, 2:45 Eastern, approximately CBS. Then you'll have New Mexico versus Clemson in that 6:11 game. That's 3:10 p.m. Eastern on True TV coming to you out of Memphis. Spokane will get Yale versus Auburn. I picked Texas and I switched my pick Thursday morning to Colorado State. That backfired on me. Mm. I picked Yale initially. I switched to Auburn. We'll see if that backfires on me. And then what was my other? I had a third change Thursday. Let me look. I'm looking up right now because I wrote it down. I switched James Madison to make the Sweet 16 to beat Duke. So I had James Madison the whole way. So if they lose tomorrow, it wasn't a last second decision, but I needed a little more. I need a little more zest in that bracket. Auburn has destroyed every single like non Q1 team has played the entire season. So I had to go back and go with the Tigers, who are the fourth team at Ken Pom. Colorado versus Florida. Very intriguing, man. 4:30 TBS on a Friday. For those of us on the East Coast, maybe trying to get some dinner in, that is a, that feels destined to be close late. I do have the Buffs in that game. Texas A&M versus Nebraska is the first game of the night window. So Colorado, Florida will wrap up Friday on TBS. And then from Memphis, A&M, Nebraska, approximately 6:50. Some of these tips are obviously going to get slid. It's inevitable, but it is on schedule for 6:50. Really good 8-9 game that I actually think is going to be filled with some bucket getters. I can't wait to watch that. Okay, I'm watching in real time right now. Is it going to be a timeout? Don't you dare call timeout. Don't you dare. 92-89 Kansas, 14.7 to go. This is for the however many people are watching this in the live chat right now. Can we get going on this, by the way? Let's go. Give them the ball. KB, I better not hear you say a damn thing. All right. Sanford bringing it up. This is thrilling podcasting right now. Okay. He's got the... got to get it up. You got to get it up. No way. Okay. Hold on. It's in the corner. Kansas. Who's that off? Oh, it's Kansas ball. Miserable play-by-play. I'm all too aware of that. Okay. Miserable. I'm not here to give you play-by-play on a podcast. I'm just trying to live it in real time for you. Sanford had a chance. Why did I pick him in this game, by the way? I must have been out of my mind.
A buckyball. It's very appealing. I get it. And Kansas hurt. Yeah.
Yeah. Ooh.
It made some sense.
It did. They had a chance. Some good fight. Looks like... Don't tell me this is a review. They're going to... Can we... Okay.
Banish it.
I'm about done with this. Okay. I understand that we want to get the calls right. But here's the deal, folks. If we're going to do this parade of reviews, I want two timeouts max afforded to a team in the second half. Okay? Fair. Two max. You already get every TV timeout. In the tournament, we have the TV breaks every time we do this. I want two max moving forward. You don't need all these timeouts. Coach your team, have them prepared. Okay? You can't have this constantly. This isn't a new complaint. We've been doing this almost a decade now. Get rid of it.
It's great.
Night schedule for the tournament Friday. Nebraska A&M, 6:50 TNT. UVM Duke, I'll be there. Brooklyn, CBS, 7:10 Eastern. We'll see what Duke can do. Caleb Foster, who's already been out, but he's out for the year. He's got a compound fracture, I think, in his ankle. I think that was a stress fracture, I think it was. Sorry, I don't think it was compound. Stress fracture was announced on Thursday. I've lost all concept of time.
Yeah.
Grambling State against Purdue in the 116, 7:25. That's going to be on TBS. Charleston, Bama, which KB talked about before. That is your True TV 7:35 tip. Things can get a little bit frisky on True TV. Just keep it in mind. And then your night window, which I think has insane potential, aside from the first tip in that window, Houston versus Longwood, 9:20 TNT. Mm-hmm. You're probably not going to the audio on that on the YouTube TV quad box. But then approximately 9:40 CBS, JMU, Wisconsin.
Yeah.
The trendiest pick. TCU, Utah State, TBS, about 10 Eastern. Great 8-9. See what we get there from the Horned Frogs and the Aggies. And then the last tip of the night scheduled, Grand Canyon St. Mary's, another 12-5, 10:05 Eastern, approximately on True TV. It's a really, really, really solid slate here. This game is almost about done. I will give the answers to what I asked you, though, KB. My most anticipated game of the day is JMU Wisconsin.
Yeah.
And the upset I've actually got on the board is also JMU Wisconsin. So I'll give you my second most anticipated game of the day. And I think it's Grand Canyon St. Mary's.
I was going to say, talk to me on that one. That's the one I have the least confidence, the worst feel on going into tomorrow.
Well, I mean, St. Mary's has been super, super, super hot. Only two losses since December 1st. Really, really good defense. It's the best rebounding team in the tournament. And it's playing against a Grand Canyon team that has good balance, is good at getting to the foul line, is not exceptionally great at rebounding. And, you know, it's got decent size. Tyon Grant Foster is the name that everyone talks about because he's the best player. He's a really, really good scorer. but they've got a big name, Duke Brennan, who is pretty vital to what they need to do. And he is going to have to show up huge against Mitchell Saxon in that game. I do like St. Mary's to win, but there's good capacity for it. Game is now final. Okay. Kansas 93, Samford 89. We do not get an upset in either of those spots in Salt Lake City. Gonzaga survives, more than survives, it thrives against McNeese. Bill Self, without Kevin McCullough Jr., gets by Samford, but it was a real push. So that means we get Gonzaga versus Kansas on Saturday. We have the tip times, by the way. Tip times are in. Oh, I got to send, I'm going to send this out right now. Man, that's I'm looking at them right now here with the Saturday tip times. What you're going to have, sending this out right now real quick, because you always have the two standalone games that open up on Saturday, and that's what we have here. Send this out to the folks that need to have it. Saturday tip times are in, and here's what we're looking at. Salt Lake City. Salt Lake City gets it first. Mm. How about this, KB? 12:45 Eastern Saturday. Arizona Dayton's first. That's your Nestler, Brendan Haywood, Dana Jacobson team. And then Salt Lake City has it again. So the westernmost site, 3:15 Eastern on CBS, Gonzaga, Kansas. So Kansas, that's a tight turnaround. 5:30 Eastern CBS, UNC, Michigan State, which I thought was going to get the 12:45. And then 6:10 on TNT, you'll go come out of Nebraska, Iowa State, Washington State. 7:10 Eastern on either TBS or True TV. It's shown here on the official release here. So I guess they might flip these. NC State versus Oakland, NC State, Oakland. By the way, we are guaranteed another double-digit seed in the Sweet 16 for, like, you know, the 37th year in a row. It always happens. It's a matter of identifying it, and nobody had that. CBS 8 o'clock Saturday is number two Tennessee versus 7 Texas. 8:40 is Illinois versus Duquesne, and your last tip of the night on Saturday will be number 3 Creighton versus number 11 Oregon. So that's your Saturday slate. Congrats to Kansas for getting it done. Samford, that was really, really a game, you know, a game effort there. I will be in Brooklyn all day on Friday. I will not be on the show Friday night. It will be, I believe, it's you and Parrish, right, KB?
That's right.
Okay, so these two guys are going to do it. I will be in HQ Studios on Saturday, and I will be doing the show Saturday, I think, with either
Cobb.
I think it's Cobb. Chip Patterson is actually in studio for HQ, but I think he's actually going to pull the late shift in the studio, and I will make sure that we can get that pod going at a practical time and not when there's a really good game that's wrapping up. And then Sunday, if schedules align, it'll be me and GP, but we got to determine Sunday at a later date. Any closing thoughts on the day before we get out of here?
No, I mean, the Kentucky thing just totally was a tidal wave. Didn't expect that. Very interested to see what happens next with Kentucky, with Calipari, the coaching carousel in general. I think it's very fascinating. I'm sure you probably have some thoughts on the carousel, but yeah it's going to start spinning here soon. And today was just a mammoth day for one of the biggest programs in all of college basketball.
It was. And for anyone joining us late, just start this YouTube show over from the beginning. We went deep into it. And I will close on this thought. It is an obvious thought, but it bears repeating, I think, every day. The tournament should not be touched. And as you see some people say, oh, the tournament's going to expand. It might. It might. But just know this. There are people involved with staging this tournament. Many people involved with staging this tournament that do not want to expand it, that are resisting that idea. And there are many people that know that it being 68 teams with 32 automatic bids dropping down to 31 with the Pac-12, disintegrating, that know that what we got here with Kentucky versus Oakland on Thursday is the purest form of what makes the event so powerful and so great, so irresistible. It has taken over American sports. Oakland beating Kentucky will be the biggest story in our sports landscape until or if something possibly supersedes it on Friday, and there's no even guarantee of that. If you expand the field, you run the risk of creating not just like, oh, it's 72 teams. It's another play-in game. They may well try and restructure the format of the tournament to make more teams play an entry round kind of thing and give safer havens to power conference teams, which reduces the chance that they would have to play in Oakland in their first tournament game, which obviously the overwhelming majority of American sports fans do not want. So I think and hope and believe that nights like tonight, games like Oakland over Kentucky, reinforce the idea that what we have here doesn't need to be tinkered with, doesn't need to be fixed. These conferences have more than enough access to get into the tournament. And I have not lost hope that the overwhelming majority of us that would prefer not to see this amazing event be touched can still go that route. But we'll have to wait and see as the weeks and months to come, because I think we will get some sort of indication and answer on this before we get out of this calendar year. But I don't want to live in this tournament this year right now thinking like, oh, this is the last one we get to experience with a 68 team field. I really don't want to believe that. And I don't believe that. So we'll see. And hopefully the right people in charge resist the urges of others just for the sake of trying to gain more power, get more money. And oh, by the way, the conference commissioners and the coaches, and not all coaches, because we've had a number of coaches who have come out and said, don't expand it, which I really appreciate. They did it themselves. They expanded these leagues. They're the ones that want 16 teams and 18 teams. Okay? You're a snake eating your tail. You're searching for a solution to a problem that you made yourselves. You made the bed, lie in it. Don't try and expand the tournament to end, you know, give additional means to your own ends. You'll have more than enough chances. No one needs to see a 12th place team in an 18 team league get into the NCAA tournament.
And that's by the way, I know you're not a horn tutor yourself, but I would say if people are interested in this discussion, you can go to Dan Patrick's.
Oh, that's true.
On YouTube, Mr. Madden Orlander was on Dan Patrick's show earlier this week talking about the expansion topic, along with the NCAA tournament, of course.
But. And railing against. No, that was a very cool career highlight. I know the guys that work on Dan Patrick's show. And lo and behold, it was the music bracket thing that finally got me the invite on there. But I appreciate that, KP.
Let's go.
This podcast was planned to be no more than about 33, 34 minutes. We are now at an hour six. I need to wrap up my life, get to bed. I have an early departure to Brooklyn in the morning. You will see me on CBS Sports HQ in the 11 a.m. hour. I believe my hit is scheduled for about 11:20 a.m. KB, I thank you so much, bud, for hopping on and helping me talk through the rest of that game. Congrats to Kansas. Looking forward to Kansas versus Gonzaga. That's a tasty Saturday game. Appreciate all of you. Continue to rate, subscribe, and tell a friend. If you got people that are loving the tournament, but you don't know if they listen to podcasts, please continue to push. We're going to give you recap episodes every single night throughout the tournament. We appreciate you so much. I'm Matt Norlander. That's Kyle Boone. For GP Gary Parrish, we will talk to you again late, late, late Friday night after the conclusion of the first round.
See ya!
Survivor 46 is here, and so is On Fire, the only official Survivor podcast, and we have a twist this season. The winner of Survivor 45, Dee Valladares, will be joining us every week.
We're going behind the scenes of the biggest moments, the how and the why things happen, and the strategy and analysis you can only get from someone like me, a Survivor winner.
Listen to On Fire, the official Survivor podcast, wherever you get your podcasts.